Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. DoorDash, your door to more.
You know who came in handy over our wedding weekend? DoorDash. We were in Savannah getting married. Beautiful weekend, but obviously with a baby and a lot going on with planning a wedding, there was a lot of little things we forgot, like batteries. Also, we had a little late night party with some friends, DoorDash some alcohol. It was amazing, you know, when you're, especially when you're in a city that you're not from, well, I'm now I'm familiar with Savannah, but you don't have all the convenience of travel and things like that. There is nothing better than having DoorDash by your side to send out and have whatever you need basically delivered right to your door, whether it's food, whether it's snacks, whether it's batteries, whether it's alcohol, DoorDash has you covered.
One of my favorite things about DoorDash is when you are leaving somewhere and you're so hungry and you're like, okay, I'm going to order DoorDash. And by the time I get home,
boom,
it's at the door.
Hot and ready.
Hot and ready.
So good. So whether you're sick at home, you need to restock alcohol for that party, or you just need some essentials that you just don't feel like going out late at night, DoorDash has you covered. DoorDash, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to get almost anything delivered. Must be 21 years or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to a new and exciting episode of the Vile Files Ask Nick edition. I'm your host, Nick, joined by Allie and Amanda. Ladies, how you doing?
I'm really good.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. How was the wedding?
Wedding was fabulous. It was a magnificent event. They are now back from their honeymoon. A lot has happened in the last couple of weeks.
Great. I look forward to the update tomorrow on some juicy details of the wedding on the recap episode.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. You know, as someone who has always been interested in event planning, what an event.
Truly. What's new with you?
I am happy because I started a shared note with my boyfriend that has a calendar of like all of this, the like shared commitments we have going forward. And I know people don't think I'm type A because I'm weird. I actually find it really annoying when people are like, I'm so weird. But I know people don't think I'm type A because I'm a little loose. But this, I feel so pleased with this update. And like, it's just really nice having stuff cemented and feeling like there's like an us of it all.
Wait, so what is on the note? What's an example of something on the note?
Yeah, what's...
So we're going for Yom Kippur. We went to my cousin Haley's house. So like stuff like that, he went for that. Or we have a wedding coming up. There's also, so it's like organized by month. And then there's also
so it's more of like an event schedule.
Yes.
In that way. Oh, yes. Okay.
It's like a share. It's kind of like it's like a calendar, but less high tech.
I see.
With your boyfriend?
Yeah. You don't care. You could not give less of a shit.
I'm fascinated.
What do you, in what way?
A shared calendar.
Yeah.
Who's that? Is this your idea?
Well, he was like, because there was kind of a period of time where like all of the events were kind of like swirling up in the air and there were like a bunch of different things. And so he was like, oh, we should make a list of something of all this stuff we have coming up. And I was like,
interesting. I wonder how many people dating have a shared calendar. That's a big step.
It's less of a step than an actual shared calendar. It's just making sure they don't like plan two things for a weekend. When Amanda first said we have a note of our commitments, I thought it was like, I vow to take out the trash every Thursday. That's where I thought it was going. But this actually makes a lot more sense.
It makes a lot of sense. But like, who's responsible for managing this? I could think it's the greatest idea. I could say it's amazing. But like, I am not capable of managing a calendar. For all the money in the world, I truly don't know if I could like successfully keep up a calendar.
You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to write a little note at the bottom that says, does my boyfriend even read this? And see if he was...
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, does Nick? Because confusing.
What a bummer for you.
I know. For the wedding I was in for my cousin, we made like a fun little...
Is this the first time you said his name on the podcast?
Maybe.
Spoiler. Yeah.
Well, I'm used to saying I've started calling you my boss a lot more. Because it's weird. It's more annoying saying my boyfriend than my boss. But for the bridesmaid bridal party I was in, they made like a TikTok where it was like bridesmaids and their problems. And mine was dating someone with the same name as her boss.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So terrible.
Would you rather date someone who had the same name as your boss
or your brother?
The same name as your parent?
Oh, definitely boss.
I don't know. I guess it all depends on how you feel about your sibling versus your boss. Yeah, that's more of a depends question. Because relationships with your boss and siblings can be complicated. And if they are complicated, then it's like, you know, super weird. I'm really curious how many people do this or have attempted to do this. And I'd love some feedback if Amanda's in for a world of pain. I bet there's some horror stories on shared calendars.
I hear that. But the reason I don't think I'm in...
Also relationship like savers as well. Just depends.
Right. Well, like my boyfriend's really good about timing stuff. Like he is on time, like early, which is the opposite of me. And so I think because he's so good about commitments in like that small scale way, I presume like on a larger scale way, hopefully.
Okay.
I think part of the key is like keeping it with like only the important shit.
I truly want updates about this. Okay. I couldn't be the opposite from not caring. I really am curious. It's such a step in a relationship.
At the bottom, I put, does my boyfriend even read this? 2 question marks. So we'll see. We'll have our answer. I do that. I think that's so smart. Like, you know, when teachers in college would like tell you to read the syllabus before the first class, and then they're like in the depths of the syllabus somewhere teeny tiny.
There's
it's like
an automatic A option.
Or it's like, if you were actually reading this, send me an email with your favorite character from Lion King. And I will do that.
Was there any bonus points? Like, and if you do, you get like.
No, it's more like you're penalized if you're not. So it's like you're starting off on the wrong foot.
Oh, I hate that teacher. I don't read syllabuses. I'm sorry. I don't read. By the way, buy my book. There is an audiobook available with me narrating it. But yes, please, if you haven't already, try it. Don't text your ex happy birthday. I've been really happy with all the feedback. If you haven't yet, please try it. Available now for audiobook and, you know, in this cute little dialogue.
What if we read a tiny little excerpt?
Go ahead.
So this is obviously in reference to the title. This isn't exclusive to birthdays. The same goes for holidays. You're their ex. You're no longer a part of their life. If you want to put a positive spin on it, the fact that this relationship was meaningful to you is why you shouldn't reach out. They were not a casual friend. They were not a coworker. They were someone you cared for deeply. So when you reach out on a significant day, when feelings are still unsettled, you are treating that relationship like it was never more than a casual one. Give that relationship the respect it deserves and simply let it go, because it was too special to be turned into something casual with the click of a send button. The relationship being over doesn't mean it wasn't special or that it won't have a place in your heart. It just means it's over and you need time to heal.
What a great book. I forgot how awesome it was.
He's clutching his pearls.
Yeah, wow. Truly, give it a shot. I would appreciate it if you do. Vilefiles.com for all your ordering options. Don't know where commas go? Well, I don't either. And if you get Grammarly, maybe you can write a book too, because like I don't fucking know where commas go and my grammar is atrocious and I wrote a book. Truly, Grammarly is a game changer for people like me who don't have the time to thoroughly proofread everything, and no matter what, if they proofread it 10 times, they'll always miss a few mistakes. Grammarly is helping those people save a ton of time. Grammarly is all-in-one writing tool, makes clear, concise communication easier than ever. So you can be confident and efficient writing your emails, reports, and presentations. Finish your work quickly and confidently with Grammarly. It can be easy to make mistakes on important emails and documents when you're busy. Don't I know it? Like every day. Free versions of Grammarly offers comprehensive spelling, grammar, and punctuation suggestions. Instantly proofreading and providing suggestions so your writing always comes across as professional and mistake-free. Grammarly's premium clarity, focused sentence rewrites keep your writing clear and to the point, so you get through work emails quicker and back to the important projects. And let me tell you, really consider the premium, because it's amazing what they do. Also, get an instant take on how your message comes across. Grammarly's free tone detector, and this is a game changer, because when you write something, I mean, like truly, they might not be reading it in the tone that you sent it, and always be mindful of that. And Grammarly really helps you do that. Don't piss anyone off by like forgetting that you might not mean it in the way that they receive it, and use Grammarly to help you get by. Get more time in your day with confidence in your work with Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/VIALL to sign up for your free account. And when you're ready to upgrade to Grammarly Premium, get 20% off for being my listener. That's 20% off at grammarly.com/VIALL. If you need help texting some friends and it's a Monday morning, send in those emails at asknick@castme.com, cast with a K, for your questions. We'll help you shoot your shot or solve that fight with a friend. Also, for all your Ask Nick submissions, for your Ask Nick, your long form questions, we're here for you. Send them in. Let's get to our callers.
Question time with Nick. Let's ask Nick your sexy questions.
How's it going?
Good. I am Hannah and I'm 22.
How can I help, Hannah?
So in the email, I kind of mentioned I have feelings for one of my brother's best friends. Ooh, which fun. I'm sure, yeah. Very kind of sticky situation.
Is your brother older or younger?
He's older. So he's 25.
What are you looking at me like I'm crazy?
No, I like your follow-up questions. Continue.
Those are important questions.
He's 8. Like,
he could be 19.
I know. Go.
Anyway. He's older. All right, how old is he?
He's 25.
And I'm assuming this guy is the same age?
Yeah.
And do you just have like a crush from afar, or do you have valid reasons for this crush?
So it kind of started about, I'd say like a year ago. We were all at like a wedding all together.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of like, I'd never been like the type of person to like put myself out there to his friends at all in that way. Very platonic always. But you know, a couple drinks in and I'm like, you know what, what's the harm? So I kind of just was like flirting with him a little bit, and I think he was a little taken aback by it. But he definitely was like giving it back for sure. But the thing is, he was moving to Minnesota a week after that it all happened. And so nothing really ever happened or came of that.
So did you guys kiss or anything, or just
flirting? No, you just... no. And I think he was very stressed, I think, about the whole, sure, me being my, like the younger sister kind of thing. And they have had like a history with him, like dating one of my brother's exes kind of thing. So it's already a little bit.
So this friend already dated one of your brother's exes.
Given my brother's only had one ex, so, you know, in like high school. So
that doesn't make it better. Okay. But yeah, this happened in high school.
No, this was, oh yeah. So my brother dated the girl in high school, but then they met in college and he didn't know my brother when he was dating that girl.
Okay. So it's more of a coincidence than a.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So he goes to Minnesota.
Goes to Minnesota. We like just follow each other on Instagram. That's it. Like nothing, no contact, anything. I will say he's always kind of like was in the back of my mind a little bit. And then at the end of June, there was another wedding. So another mutual friend's down in SoCal, and we were all there, and all of my brother's friends were all there for the whole week. The first night we end up running into all of them at a bar and we're all hanging out, and him and one of our other friends, his other friends, so one of my brother's other friends, end up walking us back and hanging out with us for the rest of the night. Very, very flirty. At this point too, he had also gotten a girlfriend in Minnesota.
So at this point he has a girlfriend.
And so I was kind of intrigued to see like what that dynamic would be like in a way. And he was still very, like, very flirty still.
Okay.
So I was kind of
describe very flirty to me.
Like, lots of hugging, just, like, different things with that. I'd say, like, do you know the whole, like, oh, he's a 10, but he's this kind of thing?
Sure.
Like, very, like, a lot of that stuff. But saying, like, oh, she's a 9, but she's, like, my best friend's younger sister. Things like that.
Okay.
And then.
It's flirty, yeah.
Yeah, I don't, not like anything crazy, but he, almost like he was wanting to like me to flirt with him in a way. Like he was like setting it up for that, like little things where like my response he knew would kind of be flirty. Right. I don't know if that makes sense.
Does he still have a girlfriend?
No.
Okay.
So that had all happened. And then one of the other nights they ended up just, so he's Jack. And then his other friend, Will, ended up just coming out with me and my friends. My brother wasn't there, hanging out with us all night. Super like just a great time. Like we honestly all just like very comfortable situation, like just a great night. And then the wedding happened and it was just me and my one other friend, Lily. And, it was just us four hanging out like the entire wedding and pretty much the entire time, which I found kind of odd considering they were all like all of their friends were there and it's, I don't know. And then they ended up driving us back to the Airbnb they were staying at. And even at the wedding, his friend was saying like, oh, he's not happy in the relationship that he's in, all this stuff.
I mean, he's not in the relationship anymore. Did you guys,
yeah.
Have you kissed him, anything with him?
I was very like, I was trying to be very careful about not crossing any sort of.
Yeah, yeah. How long ago was this wedding?
This was the end of June.
Okay.
It's only like a month-ish ago, 2 months.
Where are we now?
So we had texted. So the night that I got back, he had, we stayed up till like 2 a.m. texting. A lot of things about like, just like similar interests, like saying how much we have in common. He even had said like, we listen to very similar music. He said he was like going to make me a playlist and I would make one for him.
Oh, how cute.
Not, no. And that ended up never happening, which honestly, probably for the best, because at this point he was still in the relationship. And then I was on vacation recently and he had responded to a couple of my posts, just like being very complimentary. And then we were texting and he said something like very flirty and something you definitely would not say with having a girlfriend. And then like quickly after he put like in parentheses, like me and my girlfriend broke up. So like, don't worry, I'm allowed to like say that stuff now. I was just like, okay.
So he acknowledged, well, so then he's literally telling you I'm flirting with you.
100%. And I mean, that was definitely like.
So what does your brother know? Like, what's your big, what's the dilemma? Your brother doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know anything.
That's the dilemma.
And well, that, and he still lives in Minnesota. So it's almost like, what's the point in a way? Like, what am I getting out of
this? You tell me, you're the one who's been indulging this for a while now.
So
clearly there's a point, you know,
like. You're right. I think for me, like I've only had one boyfriend and it was for about 4 years and I've been single for about 2 and I haven't had like literally any sort of feelings like that for anybody.
Well, you have options. So based off of, you know, the situation better than I do, I think you should pursue this, you know, why not? But to what degree, maybe you don't know yet, but like clearly you enjoy talking to him. You like flirting with him. And if you want to maintain even this, like the fact that your brother doesn't know anything is weighing on both you and this guy, it sounds like, to a certain degree. So like, take that out of the equation. You need to tell your brother. Are you guys still playing coy with one another? Or are you like both like, we like each other?
No. So that's where I'm totally confused because I can't read him in a way because he'll reach out more than I do, but then kind of cut the conversation short. And I feel like he's almost thinking in the sense of like, there's no point in any of this. And why would I get attached to somebody who's, you know?
Here's what you need to do. You need to shoot your shot with him first. You're the guy. What's really important for you in this moment is to not act like the younger sister. You need to put yourself on his level. You know,
Okay. You
need to be confident with your words. You need to be certain about what you want. You need to take charge here. And so that conversation to the crush goes something like, you're on a FaceTime with you, be like, well, can we just put it out there that we've been like crushing over each other or flirting? Like, when are you going to admit to me that you're just like super obsessed with me? You say it like in a joking way, just name it, get it out there, you know, but you have to do it confidently. You can't be the little sister. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You have to be the boss. And you know, when you talk to this friend, because you doing that will make him feel less weird about it. When you act like the little sister who's like waiting for him to take charge, that's going to like be too weird for him. So you kind of have to take charge because, you know, he is, you know, best friends with your brother. So you have a conversation with him, see what he says. Like, it's real simple. If he shoots you down, like, whatever. Like, you know, your ego will be bruised, you'll be sad, you'll move on, and be like, oh, fuck it, he lives in Minnesota, he's dating my brother. There's a lot of, like, built-in excuses for your ego to, like, not make yourself feel so bad, right? Yeah. You'd be like, oh, well, you know, I live in Minnesota, your ego, your best friend's my brother, like, we shouldn't do this. And you're like, okay. And you can fight a little bit. You'd be like, you know you like me, just, like, stop being such a wuss about it. And then from that point on, you just, like, he should tell your brother, or you guys decide who tells the brother.
Yeah.
And you tell him now, because, like, the brother's not going to want to feel like you went behind his back. So it's still early enough that you can just say, I think Matt's cute, or whatever his fucking name is. What? And you're just like, I think he likes me too. You know, I've been flirting with him. I want to see where it goes. You're my brother. I love you. Personally, I think it's better if he does it, to say, I've been kind of flirting with your sister. Nothing's happened. But you're my best friend and I love you. Is it cool? And then, like, then you can go to your brother after you know that he's talked to him to say, I want this. Stay out of my way. You know, because he can tell him to back off, but your brother can't tell you to back off. Now, you want to respect this friendship, but, like, it's just a weird thing for every brother to, like, you know, potentially get over. So, like, your brother's supposed to feel weird about this. But ultimately, if he thinks his friend's a good guy and he, you know, is respectful, then you should stay out of the way, so to speak.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how I think you should handle it. But it starts with you shooting your shot first with the friend, and you do it in a way that is kind of boss-like, not demure. You have to be very assertive. You have to be confident in this. Because otherwise, he's going to be like, I'm uncomfortable. He doesn't want to feel like he's pursuing you, you know? Like, so you really need to take charge here and go for what you want. And see what he says.
Okay. I'll definitely do that. We'll see how that one goes.
When was the last time you FaceTime date this guy? Have you ever?
No.
When was the last time you communicated with him?
It's been a while. I'd say maybe like 2 weeks ago. So that's where it's kind of like...
Not that long.
I know, but it's like at this point, it's like I feel like I almost have an answer in a sense of like, I don't know. He probably doesn't.
What do you have to lose?
Oh, you're right.
If he rejects you, you already know the answer. And even if it's not the real answer, you can tell yourself that.
Yeah.
So I think you should like text him right now and just be like, what are you doing tonight?
Oh, God. Okay.
He's going to say nothing or something. And if he says something, and he's going to be like, something why or nothing why. And you say, let's FaceTime each other tonight or this week. If he's free, if he's not doing anything tonight, you say, let's FaceTime each other tonight.
Okay.
Just leave it at that. If he says something and he says what this is, be like, oh, well, we should FaceTime each other sometime this week. And if he says why, be like, I don't know, I just missed that face of yours. Flirt with him. You've been flirting. You know, just keep flirting.
No, I know.
And, you know, make it obvious. You know what I'm saying? You got to be assertive here, right? Because you want to make it so obvious at any point he can shoot you down being like, well, I just don't think it's a good idea because of your brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Make it be a little aggressive. So the point where, like, if he accepts the flirt, you know you're on the same page. And you're being so aggressive, not even aggressive. Like, that's not even that aggressive. But, like, that will give him the opportunity to say, oh, I don't know, like, you're my buddy's sister, you know, whatever. But I think you need to take charge and really go for it and not beat around the bush, so to speak. So, text him right now.
Don't do this to me. Okay.
What do you have to lose? Unless you don't want to. I don't want to make you do something you don't want to do.
Let me just sit on it for a little bit.
Okay. Chicken.
And then, I don't know. We'll see. I probably will, knowing me. I'm pretty impulsive, but
so you text him whenever you get the guts. You text him. What are you doing tonight? That's it.
Okay.
Real vague. Okay. He'll be like, oh, is she here? You know, why is she asking me what I'm doing tonight?
Okay. Good idea.
If he just says why, just say, I think we should FaceTime. Okay. And if he says, I miss your face, I think we should FaceTime.
Okay. I'm taking notes.
And then go from there. And if he says, I'm busy tonight, say, I think we should FaceTime this week. I miss your face. I think we should FaceTime this week. And then when you FaceTime, ideally, you get on a FaceTime and you just say it. Like, can we just stop pretending that, like, we haven't been flirting? And what I want to do is I want to keep flirting with you and I want to do it guilt-free. So if you feel the same way, I think you should do something about it.
Okay. That's good. That's a good idea. I like the way you said that.
You know, and then go from there.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Let us know how it goes.
I will. I definitely will.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Of course. You too.
Bye-bye. How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
My name is Dana and I'm 32.
How can I help, Dana?
So my story is I had like a really close friend, like a best friend up until a few months ago. And we just stopped being friends. And I'm not sure if I should reach out and try to mend that relationship or I should just try to move on from it. And I was just looking for advice on how to do that because I feel like I didn't really talk about it much with the people in my life, like my friends or my family, because I'm kind of embarrassed that we're not in contact anymore. Like everyone in my life knows her. We've known each other since I was 12. And we've been in each other's lives, like me and her family, and she's with my family. She's been in my like my sister's weddings. We've been really close. And okay. The past few years have been, I guess, kind of tough for our relationship. And yeah, and a few months ago, we really like didn't have any contact in the last 3 months. And I'm just not sure if I should try to mend that relationship and try to be friends again, if that's even like good for each of like either of us.
Why would it be bad? I mean, did something happen? I guess my question is, why do you feel like there things have fallen apart between you two?
I feel like maybe she was like kind of over our friendship for a while. And when I stopped like chasing it, it just, you know, fizzled away because okay. I wasn't maintaining it anymore. And so it just stopped being something. As long as I was maintaining it, we had a friendship. But when about a year and a half ago, I made changes in my life and I guess I became a different version of myself. I think a better version of myself, but.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that was my next question. So you've made some changes and you like those changes.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe she didn't, maybe we just grew apart from it. And that's why, I stopped maintaining that relationship as much as I used to. And that's why it's kind of fell apart between us.
Minus you feeling like you were the one who was driving the friendship through your efforts. And then when you did hear from her, like, do you still think she's a good person and adds value to your life when you guys are hanging out, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think she's a great person. Yeah. I'm like not mad at her or have like negative feelings towards her. I guess I was for a while. I was disappointed because I felt like you don't miss me. Like you don't care, you know, what happens in my life or, but I don't think she's a bad person. I think maybe it wasn't out for her. Like when I got more confident in my life, I made changes. I evolved in like other aspects of my life, started dating someone and I became like maybe more busy and didn't really was like as desperate, air quotes, for her attention. Maybe it was like her way like out being like, okay, so it's going to fizzle out and you're just not going to be friends anymore. But it does bug me. Like it's been a while and I'm not feeling great about it. I thought.
What do you
maybe,
have to lose to reach out? You know, I guess is my response.
Why not reach out?
Yeah. What do you have to lose?
I guess I'm like scared that.
Sure.
Her,
that's fair.
Like her response will be like, why are you reaching out? Obviously, I don't want anything to do with you. I mean, I'm saying the extreme, but like, I feel like.
Well, there you go.
Gave me all the signs. Yeah. Of, like, not. That
is, yeah. But you're right, though. That is the extreme.
Yeah.
But also, something to consider is, like, she's not in your life right now. You're not talking. And right now, the most logical explanation you can come up with is that she stopped wanting to be your friend a while ago and out of courtesy just kept hanging out with you. And once you stopped, she stopped. Like, that's not great. And that's already what you think. So how much worse could her just being like, yeah, you know, I'm good, really be?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know if she'll be honest about it. I mean, maybe she just wouldn't want to, like, hurt my feelings.
Well, that's the thing. Most likely, if she doesn't want to be your friend, she'll just, like, avoid you with pleasantries.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, I think you should reach out via, you know, if you want to go real casual, via text or whatever, and to say, hey, I was thinking about you. I miss you. I would love to catch up sometime. See what she says that. Now, granted, that's still you putting in the effort. And if she's like, oh my God, I miss you too. I was thinking about you too. I would love that. If she says, I would love that, then you say, well, how about next week? Or you like plan a date with her, you know, planning getting together. If she takes time to reply and is like, oh my God, how are you? Like, yeah, that sounds good. We should sometime, you know, like you'll tell if someone's just like not super.
Yeah, blowing you off.
Not even blowing you off, but like, yeah, just not as excited as you are. Then at least you can have your answer. At least you know you tried.
Right.
And at that point, if you feel like she's not wanting to get together with you, you can either decide to accept that. I've done that, you know? Like sometimes it's just more like I've had like platonic girlfriends where like just kind of faded. And I was like, you know, I kind of miss our friendship, but like whatever. Like maybe without me like asking if like they deep down they wanted more than the platonic friendship, I just put it out there that I, you know, love to get together with them sometime. And if they didn't like follow through, then I just kind of left it be.
Right.
You know, this is a little different. You've been friends with this person for so long. So like if you decided that you wanted to just say, hey, for what it's worth, like I miss our friendship. And if you're interested, like I'd love to like have both of us like reinvest in that friendship. And I think you'd be justified in saying that. But I also think it would be fine to just maybe let it go. But like, I definitely think it's worth reaching out just to send a simple text. Hey, was thinking about you. Would love to get together. It's been too long. Let's catch up.
Right. And see just what she says. Just to make sure, like. I wasn't giving up on it.
Hopefully she responds. She says, oh my God, yeah, I miss you too. We definitely should. And then you say, let's get together. And then when you get together, you know, try to have fun. But at some point in the hangout, you say, you know, I really did miss you. And like, I just, you know, we've definitely have grown apart a little bit. And, you know, maybe we're just busy, but is it anything I've done? And have one of those like heart to hearts, you know? If it's a friendship worth having, you guys need to, friendships sometimes need to like air their grievances and frustrations. And my guess is most likely it's not the extremes. Maybe she has her own like thoughts and insecurities. Maybe she has a bit of frustration with you. And most likely it's just like maybe she made some other friends that made her feel better. Not that you made her feel bad, but like sometimes we meet friends that like validate the ways we want to be validated.
Right.
And she's just prioritizing that right now. It's not necessarily against you. It's just more.
It's actually one of my concerns for reaching out was that I was concerned that if we got together and just like you suggested now, she would, you know, tell me things I don't want to hear. Like maybe I hurt her or did something or like I can't think of something that I did wrong.
But if you did, don't you want the opportunity to A, know what it is, and B, then apologize?
Yeah, I guess I do.
Right? I would want to know if someone was mad at me for something, especially if I hadn't, you know, you've heard of like the simplest explanation is often the right one. So you're being paranoid, you're getting in your head, and maybe you did something, I don't know, but most likely it just kind of faded away, you know?
Yeah.
And that happens all the time with friends. It's just, it's not that you did anything to make her mad. It's just that she might be enjoying someone else's company more than yours.
Yeah.
And maybe it is because like you made some changes in your life and, you know, you got a boyfriend or you started prioritizing other people. And maybe it was like one of those things. She was insecure and felt like you were distancing yourself from her. So she literally could be on the other side of this feeling the exact same way as you. Maybe not. I don't know. But literally all things are on the table. And those are far more likely than you not remembering something that you did to her that made her like really mad at you that she like wants to exile. But even if that is true, wouldn't you want to know? So you can either say, oh my God, I didn't realize, I'm sorry, or maybe I'm remembering it differently, but I that didn't happen, you know, or et cetera, et cetera.
I sure would like the opportunity to apologize if I, you know, sure. hurt her in any way. Like, as I, like, she was one of my closest friends. I wouldn't want
to. Just tell her that. I mean, these are all better than the scenarios of you just guessing.
Right.
Why you're not in each other's lives. Because that's the thing. You're not in each other's lives now.
Right. We're not.
So what do you have to lose other than like maybe like a tough conversation or saying something to her that maybe hurts your feelings, that it isn't true or doesn't feel fair? But you're already assuming all these already.
That's true. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. So I would just hit her up via text, tell her you miss her, tell her you'd love to catch up, go from there, see what she says. And then if you do get together, just put it all on the table.
Yeah, and, you know, sounds like a plan.
I miss our friendship. I miss you. And like, if you've been busy, that's fine. But I just know that I would love to reinvest in this friendship. And that happens all the time with friends. Sometimes there's some distance and you get back together and you're better than ever before. Or maybe you don't start hanging out again. But it's not that uncommon for friends to have these kind of ebbs and flows.
Great. Thank all you right. so much for your advice. Yeah. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, thank you. Let us know how it goes.
I will. I'll send you guys an update. Hopefully my guess it goes is,
well, my guess is, I don't know how it's going to go, but my guess is it's going to be better than you feel now and you'll have clarity. My guess is you'll either have rekindled the friendship or you'll say, yeah, I reached out and honestly, it just seems like she's on a different path and so am I and I'm sad about it, but at least I know I didn't like do anything.
Right.
You know, it's just.
At least I'll get closure,
Yeah, my guess is either you'll rekindle a friendship or just accept the fact that you guys have just grown apart.
Right.
And it's no one's fault.
Right.
All right.
Well, fingers crossed. It goes well.
I'm sure it'll be better than this of you just wondering.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks again. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for
having
me. Have
a good rest of your day. All right.
Yeah, bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
Rory.
Hi, Rory. How old are you?
I'm 26.
How can I help?
So I have been seeing the same guy for about a year and a half now. He's 29, just for some context. And to kind of give you some background information about our relationship in quotes, we've been pretty much consistent friends with benefits. With the understanding that this was like a monogamous kind of situation, I was very adamant that I wasn't planning on being with other people. And I kind of had the expectation that he wasn't either, which were terms that he happily agreed to.
How long has it been around for again?
A year and a half.
And you refer to him as a friends with benefits?
I refer to him as to other people as just like the guy that I'm seeing. That's basically gotcha. What I've started saying. I had met his friends probably 6 months into this and became like a pretty consistent part of his life. He was in like a friend group that I very quickly became a member of, hanging out with them every weekend. We both live in states away from our families, and we don't really see our families that much, but I met his family, like his parents, his sisters and stuff, like on FaceTime multiple times. And we would do the standard like relationship shit all the time of like dates, sleepovers, mm-hmm. hanging out. There was a surprise party that was thrown for me on my birthday, intimate conversations. He stayed with me for like almost a month after a hurricane because he didn't have a place to live. So that's been a little confusing, but I would like to think that there was a shared level of emotional intimacy despite not having a title. So I kind of rolled with the punches for a while. I kind of would go back and forth between like, do I want to push for this? And also like, I feel like I'm getting everything I want right now. So like, I'm not going to cause fights over it. But when I would push for more.
Are you getting everything you want right now?
Like, no. But I also wasn't really wanting to pursue anything else. So I kind of like made the sacrifice at the time that I liked the dynamic enough to roll with it. And I would bring it up.
I mean, that's a very favorable way of saying that you settled for something that you thought was good enough and gave up what you really wanted rather than saying, I also decided I was happy with this current situation.
I will 100% agree with that. When I would start the push for the conversation of like, I want to have more, the response that I would get was basically like, I care about you a lot. I'm not capable of being in a relationship, not right now, but ever again. And I was like, okay.
Okay. Well, yep. You got your answer.
I was like, oh, yep, I did. And so from there, there was like,
and do you know why? Is he blaming it on some sort of past girlfriend shit, or he just...
The level of emotional unavailability. Yes, I know he has a very complicated past. Yes, I've heard the stories. Yes, I kind of know the context for a lot of it. That excuse only ran so far, right? And at one point, I even was like, you know, you might change your mind down the road if you met somebody else who you felt more connected to. So I kind of recently, over the last couple of months, have been contemplating leaving the situation, trying to find better. Like, I knew that this was going to have an expiration date at some point. The reason I ultimately wrote in, my apologies, because it is about to get slightly heavy. Recently, I did find out that my mom very unexpectedly is in late stages of metastatic cancer.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. And that spread to her brain. So pretty much when I found out, I was a wreck. And I called him kind of looking for support. Mm-hmm. And he pretty much completely emotionally shut down and was just like, sorry, I don't know how to help you. And he used like work as an excuse for why he couldn't come over. And he was just kind of a jerk. And we ended up getting into a really big fight because at that point I had so much emotional energy that I didn't want to focus on my mom. So I just decided to focus it on him instead. And after about 3 hours, I finally got like a bare minimum of like, sorry, this is happening. I can't imagine what you're going through. Wish I could do more. And I was just kind of like, this is unfortunate and you're a little too late, pretty much.
He customer serviced you.
Great,
you know, that's like the most irritating thing about customer service when you call them up and then you're like, can you do X, Y, or Z? And they're like, sorry, we can't help you. And you're thinking, no, you can. You just don't want to. Yeah.
I kind of didn't. I basically was just like, thanks for your BS, you know, generic response. I'm going to see myself out. And then a few days later, he texted me and was like, any updates? And I was like, hey, well, not for you. and I mean, didn't answer, obviously.
You're like, no, she's still dying. Like,
literally,
what is asking for an update on?
Yes, that's what he was like. I'm like, yep, nope, same.
And I'm still sad. She's still dying. Fuck you.
Yes, literally that. I just didn't respond. And then two more days passed, and he texted me again. It was like, you know, you can hate me, but I really do care about you. And I'm so sorry I wasn't there for you the other day. And I want to be now, but I don't know how, and I don't want to make it worse. And so that was kind of difficult for me because I was already dealing with so much at the time. Yeah. And I'm just like, not really sure what the motive is here. And so I kind of just tried to be polite and be like, you know, I need some space to like have the people in my life who've proven that they're going to show up for me.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to understand this level of like that you care so much, you know, given how you acted in the situation. And then it's also just kind of a lot for you to be texting me, asking me to make amends and move past this, like at this time, given like what's already going on. Like, and so that was kind of where I left it. And then a day later, he was basically just like, okay, fine. Like, you'll never hear from me again. And I was like, that's traumatic. And then he texted me a few hours later and was like, I just don't know what to do. Like, I'm in panic mode. And then I just kind of like lost my mind a little bit because I was just like, you're panicking, you. That's wild. Cause like, you, like, what am I supposed to do for you? And on one hand, like, I know I'm like very not naive to the sense of emotional unavailability. And I can understand that there are things at play here that maybe don't have anything to do with me. And I can tell that there's like some remorse for the behavior. But on the other hand, I'm like, people are in control of themselves and I don't care like what your issues are. This is not acceptable. Yeah. And like, you should have been here for me. Right.
Well, I mean, sure. Should have, if he wanted you in his life, sure. And that's the thing. It's like, I don't know anything about this guy, but he either is emotionally unavailable and has some work to do, or he is just like any other person who is using it as an excuse to like not have the expectations that come with being in a committed relationship. If it's the former, that's kind of on you to just accept that he is in fact emotionally unavailable, and whatever work he needs to do is going to require probably therapy in time. And regardless of what you're personally going through now, he has shown you this inability to be emotionally available, as you say, and you've gotten your answer and you have accepted less than what you want. And right. You know, the fact that you're going through this with your mom is so terrible, and I'm so sorry. If he is in fact emotionally unavailable, then, you know, we kind of expected this, so to speak.
I definitely feel like there was for me, based on like everything, the intricacies of like the time that we spent together, I guess behind closed doors, right? So not like the time that we had spent or the conversations that we had had, I expected a little bit more. So in some ways it wasn't shocking, in some ways it was, because this was such an impactful moment that he chose to turn away from. And so I guess like I'm just like, is this grounds to just completely cut this person out of my life? Or is this such an intense thing for somebody who's emotionally unavailable that there's room for like understanding, right?
Well, I don't know how to answer that question because it kind of contradicts itself. But I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
What do you truly believe? Do you believe that he is A, truly emotionally unavailable? Or B, do you think you and him have used this emotionally unavailable excuse to let him off the hook for not committing to you? Am I making sense?
100%. I've asked myself this question. I've gone back and forth about this question a lot over the last year and a half. And like, for me personally, based on the experiences that we've had together, deeply, I do think that there are some underlying things, like you said, like that need to be addressed in therapy. But the problem that I've had is that people on the outside, like the mutual friends that we share and stuff, have kind of been like, absolutely not. And like, run. So
the thing that you're failing to grasp, and I don't mean to be hard on you,
be hard,
is that if he is emotionally unavailable, then you're wasting your time. You're not his therapist, you're not his caretaker, his mom. In a relationship, a healthy relationship, like you want to be each other's support system. But if he is in fact emotionally unavailable and he requires some like maturing and like therapy or whatever it is, that takes time. And you have to just accept that's who he is. You keep using his emotional unavailability as an excuse to keep allowing him in your life, which is the opposite of what you should be doing. You know, like, oh, he's emotionally available, so I guess that's why I can't date him, but I'll keep letting this emotional unavailable person into my life and then count on them to be emotionally supportive in times of emotional distress that I have. That's what you're doing right now. And while he might have been a jerk, and I'm sorry he was this way he was when going through what you're going through, that is what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like, you're expecting a car without wheels to drive you from point A to point B.
I guess that's a really good way to.
And you're just like, this can't be my car because it doesn't have wheels. That's why it can't be my car. But you just keep sitting in the driver's seat, hanging around, expecting it to take you places.
I guess that's true. Yeah, that's all accurate. I think hearing it that way is different. It's hard sometimes to like hear it from other people who have weight in the situation, just because there's that whole underlying concept of like, yeah, but you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. But I think the way that you're phrasing it, it's like, not that it doesn't matter what goes on behind closed doors, but at the end of the day, like, a car with no wheels can't go where it needs to go, right?
Yeah. And some people do use emotional unavailability as an excuse. It's like, I don't want a girlfriend right now. I can't. I'm just emotionally unavailable. And then like a month later, you find out they have a new girlfriend or boyfriend with someone they just were willing to be emotionally available with.
Right.
But it sounds like that doesn't seem to be the case.
Only because like this has been going on for so long. And
well, even you've allowed it to go along.
Well, yes. But even like when we've taken breaks or whatever, like there's just like been consistency where he just comes back, or I get hit with these text messages of like, I don't know what to do. Like this war of the minds, basically, that I watch play out with him like to me, basically, like in his own guilt, basically. This was just one example of how that's kind of
so
manifest.
Yeah, I would stop having empathy, I guess, for his guilt.
Or, I do have so much, but yeah,
you have empathy, but it's like, not to sound like a dick, but you know, it's just not my problem anymore. And
right now, I feel like it can't be my problem because of what's going on.
It should never have been your problem. And regardless of what's going on with your mom, you know, you could say, like, listen, like, you have so many great qualities about you. Obviously, this is why I've been like, you know, certainly I've had feelings for you. I've invested a year and a half of my life with you. But like, you need to grow up. You need to take accountability for the fact that you need to like be more attached emotionally. Because at the end of the day, if you want to be considered a friend to people or in people's lives, you expect so much from people to support you emotionally, but you're incapable of giving anything back. And quite honestly, that's kind of selfish, you know, and unfair to anyone, not just me, who encounters you in your life. So I've just decided I am no longer capable of giving you so much of my energy and expecting and getting nothing in return. And so I'm choosing to distance myself from you. And quite frankly, I'm saying this as a friend, like, you know, I don't know if that bothers you or not, but like, if it does, then do something about it. You know, like, does he have a job?
Yeah.
Does he pay rent? Like,
he's a normal functioning
person. So like,
he
can hold himself accountable for like, you know, taking the proper steps to like learn how to deal with whatever he's had to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, like at some point people have to stop blaming their problems on something that happened and just be willing to do something about it. It's like, yes, okay, that whatever happened to you, I'm sorry, that sucks. And you're acknowledging that it's affecting you in this way, but that's not an excuse for you to like negatively impact the people around you. And you are negatively impacting the people around you. So you either need to do something about it or not. But either way, I'm going to remove myself from your sphere because like, quite honestly, you're damaging the people around you because you're so needy of other people's emotions and you're so unwilling to give it back.
Right. There is definitely like a need for that to be here, to have that kind of like consistency from somebody and unwillingness
and
to return.
You need to stop getting a sense of pride or validation from being the person he needs when he needs them.
Oof. It's so loud on this bus right now.
You know, it's not something you should think of as a badge of honor. It should make you mad, you know.
I think this is probably the first time that it ever did make me mad.
Yeah.
Where I was just so like, how could you not step outside yourself for 5 seconds to understand the severity of what's playing out in front of you? And at that point, I was just pissed, basically. But yeah.
But I imagine if you went back and thought of other scenarios that weren't so obviously dire and sad, you know, you were constantly giving him your energy and he was just giving you his dick, I guess. I don't
know. Yeah.
Which probably, I don't know how good of a dick it is, but like, you know, over time.
All dicks can be replaced.
Absolutely. Minus what you're going through, obviously, with your mom. I think you definitely have to hold yourself accountable for the role you played in allowing this to happen.
And for sure. I've definitely been trying to focus on that.
You don't need
more to
beat yourself up over it, but like, I mean, use that analogy. It's kind of insanity when you think of it that way. His lack of emotional availability is not reason to give him more chances and more time. It's what should stop you from investing any more energy in him at all. And just accept him for who he is. Just an energy sucker.
See, at least energy sucker sounds better than just piece of shit.
Yeah, he's not a piece of shit. No, he's not a piece.
I don't feel that he's like, I think a lot of people, even like his friends are just like, he's being a piece of shit. Just like walk away. And I'm like, I don't feel like he's a piece of shit. He is definitely an energy sucker.
They're saying that to you because they've watched you invest all this time. They're trying to wake you up as much as, you know, like it's probably, they're probably saying it to you because they see you hurting over this guy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And they can just call him a piece of shit because like he, you know, in that moment he was a piece of shit. But as a human being, he's probably not, he's not a horrible person. He's just selfish and needy and incapable, apparently, for thinking about anyone else but his emotional needs. And that's not going to change overnight. It's going to require like maybe a little bit of a rock bottom moment and like therapy or whatever it is. But his friends are saying it to you to get you to wake up. They're right. not saying it to you to like talk shit about their friend.
No, of course not. You know. And like that was always clear. Like we are equally on the friend totem pole. Like yeah. I've gotten into a place now where it's like it is pretty equal. Yeah. At first I was the new girl and now I'm the girl. So.
He acted like a piece of shit, but what he is an emotional energy sucker.
Oh, I love this new term. This is great. This is so great.
So yeah, that's what you need to, you know, to do.
I really appreciate you talking this through with me. I told all of my friends, were like, maybe when Nick tells you, you're going to wake up and maybe start listening a little bit more. And you know, you phrased it in a great way. You've given me a really great argument for this, for leaving. So I appreciate
all right. it. Well, when he keeps fighting for you right now, in the meantime, you just say, I can't right now. And if you care about me, I think you would just leave me alone because I need to focus on my family and my mom.
Yeah. Definitely.
And if you want to bother by saying you are not his parent or his emotional like compass, you're not his therapist, so he doesn't need to hear any of this from you. You know what I'm saying? You're not. It's not your job to save him.
Even I always struggle with that.
Even like, if he got,
I always feel like I have to have the last word.
And if you really think that he really needs a lot of work to do, even if he started therapy tomorrow, it's just not happening overnight. So you really need to let him go and let him lose you and like have some real distance and like deal with this. A year and a half goes by, and if he pops back into your life, truly a new person who can come to you like someone like literally coming to you who's like going through AAA saying like, you know what, I've hurt you, I've wronged you, I'm here to make amends, et cetera. Like kind of some version of that, truly, you right. know, like then and only then can you even consider the possibility that he's emotionally mature enough in a place in his life where he can give you the emotional support that you require to be in a relationship or any type of relationship, situationship, fuck buddy, whatever.
Right.
So. Well, stop accepting less than what you know you want. You know?
This is really, yeah, this was a new level of lowering the acceptance bar, because at this point it's what am I accepting? Like, you know what I mean?
That
was
nice. Imagine you sitting in a car with no wheels being like, why aren't we going anywhere? I'm so frustrated. We're late. I'm late for this meeting. Why aren't we going? That's you right now. That like, you know, just, and I'm saying this with love, is crazy.
It is.
You know? Imagine you're on the street, you're parked, you know, and you're just in a car, there's no wheels, and you're losing your shit in the car, being like, I'm late for my meeting. People would be walking past you, being like, what the fuck is going on with this chick, you know? And that's what's going on with you.
Oof. No time machines, no getting time back, only moving forward, right?
And there you go.
Getting better out of my time.
Focus on your mom. These are valuable times you have with your mom, and give her all your emotion and all your love. Give to her and stop wasting it on this guy.
Okay. This was good. This was great. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Take care. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you
again.
Too. It's right. okay. Thank you for your kind words. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to send in those questions at asknick@castmeyer.com, cast with a K. We're here on Wednesday breaking down Bachelor in Paradise, going deeper on Thursday. Surprise guests, you know, you're going to love them. And don't forget, vilefiles.com to order Don't Text Your Ex.
Happy birthday.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.